interview with Tulnu at the Migration Museum on the 21st of December 2010. Interviewer Catherine Manning. Interview is being conducted for a planned exhibition at the Migration Museum, working title Who Are We Now? Tulnu, can I get you to state your full name for me?
Tùng Thế Ngô.
Yeah. And can I also ask where you come from?
I come from Vietnam.
Yeah. You were born there?
I was born in Vietnam, and I left Vietnam when I was about 9.
Whereabouts in Vietnam were you born?
I was born in Da Nang, which is central of Vietnam, and I lived in Saigon after the war until I left to come here.
So you grew up there?
I grew up there when I was young.
How old were you when you arrived here?
About 11. I stayed in a refugee camp for about a year and a half before I came here.
Where was the camp?
The Philippines, in Palawan. There's a refugee camp there, a camp there called Palawan, where most Vietnamese refugees stayed.
And how did you get to there from Saigon?
We had to obviously get out, and we used the boats to escape from Vietnam, and then we were picked up by a refugee ship that's picked up refugees, and they dropped us off in the Philippines.
And so since you were 11 years old, you've grown up most of your life
in Australia? Yes, I've been here since 82, so that's what, 28 years. Yes, grew up 28 years here.
And now where do you come from?
Now where do I come from? Obviously, Adelaide, South Australia.
Yeah. And how would you describe who you are to someone else?
I would say Australian with a Vietnamese heritage. So if someone asked me who I am, that's what I would say.
And if I asked you for a bit more information on who you are as a person, what would you say then?
Who am I as a person? Well, I would say I'm a very community-minded person. I like to think of what other people are up to and involved with the community surrounding, or the neighbours and the communities surrounding where I live.
Wonderful. And we've talked a little bit about this, but who would you describe as your people if I said, who are your people?
Obviously, I said I'm an Australian with a Vietnamese background, heritage. So I would say, like many Australians, where we have a heritage, a background from a different country, so I would say Australians.
And if we look at your family, how would you describe your family?
Oh, it depends how you describe the word family. It's quite broad, but I'd say my family, I came from a large family of 12, but we were all separated because of the war, and because of we had to escape or get out of Vietnam at different stages of our life. So, and they all live in America now. So I would say my family, even though we've got a big, large family, but we scatter around the world. But I wouldn't say it's unstable. it's just something that happened that, you know, we're not as in one place or in one country as many other families. So if you want to talk about them, that's my immediate family.
Mm-hmm. Can I deviate from the questions for a little bit and ask, did you come to Australia on your own then, or with any members?
No, I should have said that. I came here with my elder sister. I came with her and her husband.
What's her name?
Phuong Ngo. Mm.
Mm-hmm. And were you separated with the rest of your family before then, or you left first? Or
No, I went with my sister and her family, but I had brother and sister who left before me, and they end up in America. Mm. And I had brother and sister who left after me and also end up in America. So, yes.
Mm. And where do you fit in the family? Are you the oldest?
I'm the ninth. So there are three younger brothers. If I can remember, yeah, three. So I'm nearly at the end, yes. Yep.
And your parents, are they alive?
Yes, they're still alive. They're in their late 70s. But yeah, our family is a big, the eldest sister, there's a huge age gap between my elder sister and me, is about 18 years different or something. But yeah.
So it'll be big family that's spread around the world.
Mm, it's big family, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you happy to tell me a little bit about when your family was separated in the war, or?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's just during after Vietnam War. Vietnam was very unstable in terms of they were fighting with the neighbouring countries, and. Young boys often being made to join the army and fight with that and go to war. So my parents wanted their children to have a better life. So when boys in their teenage years often being sent. My parents often send them slowly out of the country so that they weren't being forced to join the army. So that's how it started. So when I wasn't meant to go because I was still around about 9, 10, so it wasn't my time up yet, but the other brother who's older than me meant to go, but then he got into trouble or something from fighting too much with me or something like that. My sister couldn't cop of taking him, so she said, "Oh, I'll take Tung instead." So I ended up going instead of my brother, older brother. So, but yeah, but then he later on he came out a bit later on.
So he's in Australia as well.
No, he's in America. There's two. Three of us here, two sisters, who came out in the before us, in the late 70s, and she was able to sponsor my sister and I to Australia from a refugee camp.
And what year was it that you arrived?
I arrived in July 1982.
It must have been a hard decision for your parents to send their children slowly away?
Yes, it was hard. Actually, I spoke to my mum on a weekend on the phone. I sure often called her, and she said, "Oh, Tom, you're one of my favourite sons because I felt like I neglected you all my life." You know, so I said, "Don't worry, I've turned out all right." So you don't have to worry about that, mum. So. But yeah, she kept saying that because she's, coming near to her end of her life, and she said, "I've got to tell you this, but I felt really neglected and sent you away at such a young age." And, yeah.
So are your mum and father still in Vietnam, or
not in America? Everyone's in America now. Ah. Yeah. So.
You weren't tempted to follow them?
I was at one stage when I was young. My parents, brothers, sisters. Was on my backs all the time coming to America to live and yeah, but Yeah, and I was tempted at one stage, but then I decided not to because I was having too much fun here. And plus, it's a great country, so I didn't want to really leave a good country to go to a place that's I'm not quite familiar with.
Just going back to my questions, I asked you before where you fit in the family. Do you think you have a role in the family?
I think I do. Obviously, we all grown up and we all do our different things. But I do have a role because I involved quite a bit with community work. And it's really completely opposite with my other brothers and sisters who they just go to work and mainly hang around with just ordinary people. They don't involve much with community activity. So in some way they see me as someone different, and sometimes they're quite proud of it because I'm like a someone completely different. And yeah, so, and then, you know, when I get mentioned in the newspaper or they all know about it, and yeah, I think they do feel proud of you know, my involvement.
So if you had to put a label on it, what would you say your role in the family is?
I would say I'm more like a go-between person. So, and that's always been my life, a go-between. So that would be my role. So if there's a fight on, I would try to sort it out. Yes.
Do you think that's connected to your community works?
I think so, yeah. I think, I mean, you know, with as a community person, you always try to find a best solution, a compromise solution. So that's what I... that's what I do. And things happen in the families, I always try to find a solution and try to resolve things.
Wonderful. Do you think that's changed in your lifetime?
Changed?
Your role in the family?
In term, could you explain a bit more?
Oh, well, do you think your place or your role has changed? Have you always been the go-between or...?
Oh, okay. No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, as you grow older and you get involved and you get more confidence, and with the Vietnamese culture, often adults making decisions, it's behalf of a younger person to speak up or making decisions. But as you get older and you have more confidence and you're able to challenge and just say what you think, and I've obviously grown up here too, so... obviously, it's changed over time as you grow older.
We've talked a little bit, obviously, about your cultural background, Vietnamese and Australian. How important do you think your cultural background is to who you are?
I think it's very important because, in some ways, even though I grew up here, I still have a lot of Vietnamese in me in terms of the way I think, the way food I eat and some being conservative as well. So that's, I think, it does play a big part in, I still play a big part in my life, yes.
So can you describe that a little bit more for me? And so you say the way you think is influenced by your Vietnamese background. How would you see that as different to the way an Anglo-Australian perhaps would think?
Oh, okay. I suppose... I'm still very much about how to put it. Question.
Or not even how it's different to an Anglo-Australian, but how it is Vietnamese. How would you describe the way you think it's Vietnamese?
Yeah, it's a good to follow on the next. It's a good question because there's a many people with ethnics, or I'm just saying that my case, Vietnamese backgrounds, because we came over when we were just about like a teenager. So we, I would call in a no man land where we're not quite fully Vietnamese and we're not quite fully, you know, Australian. So we're stuck in the middle. So we often, I would say, in the early years, I would say that when we try to find where our roots are or where we're from, I would say that there's a cultural shock in that early stage. But obviously, as we grow older, we tend to fall back towards our heritage. But in terms of the ways I think, I'm not as revealing, or I'm more, or maybe it's just the way I am, but I'm not as as open as an Anglo person, because I think because of my cultural background, and I still have that respect in terms of if someone older than me or someone in higher position, I'm still have that respect for them. But if in a current society or young person here, they've been brought up to be quite open and be quite challenged and be quite believe in your thinking. So that's where I'm different, where I'm still sits back and listen to someone who's an authority or a higher position than me and respect that, respect that, who they are, but not aggressive enough to challenge them. So that's I think would be the unique thing that I've still got as a Vietnamese person.
And are there any traditions that you practice still that you describe as Vietnamese?
Obviously, I was brought up as a Catholic, Vietnamese Catholics, and I still go to Mass, and obviously I still celebrate like some festivals like the New Year, and obviously the food, which I very much love. So that's the tradition I'm really still hold very strongly.
Do you make it yourself or someone in your family?
I can make some myself, but some of the soup that I like the pho, I often go and buy because it's a lot quicker. It takes a lot of time and efforts to make those soups just to have it by yourself or with just a small family. So it's cheaper to just go out and eat.
And can I get you to describe a little bit about some of those traditions? For example, New Year's, what do you do that's typically Vietnamese for New Year's?
Oh, okay. Obviously, New Year, it's a bit like, I bring my parents up to give them New Year greetings and obviously other family members to wish them best for the New Year. We have special dishes that's they only make during the New Year period. So it's a special bunching cake so that we eat. So we try it there, and I don't just cook special Vietnamese dish. Just use that occasion to to have a nice dinner or a nice lunch.
Lovely. And you talked about going to Mass still. Do you go to a particularly Vietnamese congregation or is it in Australia?
No, I go to St. Margaret Mary's, which is in Torrens Rory Corn Park. It's a very multicultural parish. They have Vietnamese, they have the Filipinos, the Africans, the Indians, the Australians. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's very multicultural.
Do you think that's changed how you practice your faith, or is it still the same with different people?
I'm a bit different in term because of my community involvement. I've learned to respect other cultures and other people's heritage. So when I go to Mass, it's more about being involved with a community and what I practice or believe, then it's for myself because other people, they have their own prayer and stuff like that, so we just got to respect that. But it becomes more vibrant where I go, Yes. Mm.
So we've talked quite a bit now about your Vietnamese cultural background. Mm. How would you describe your Australian cultural background?
That's very interesting. As I said, we came from a generation where, what's the word, where, you know, like, you're not quite in the one, you're just like half. So sometimes we do think a lot of the ways we think we do. We're very much Australian, but we're not fully Australian. So, we always fall back to the Vietnamese culture because we, you know, because that's when we brought up the first, you know, 10 years or so. But my Australian is, you know, I'm very easygoing, very laid back, because when I went to America, that's how Vietnamese American found myself. They said, "Oh, you're very laid back," and so. And then I think that's because of the society and the culture I grew up. That's made me, you know, like easygoing or laid back. Also, the community involvement in terms of trying to get involved with community activities. I think that's sort of came from the Australian culture that I've been brought up or went to school and hang out with certain friends that influence my thinking about caring for other people, caring for the environments, and so that I think that's because I was influenced by certain friends that I hang around with during my high school years, and you know when they've always told me to watch the ABC, so and obviously the ABC often show all these shows that's about the community. So I think that's my Australians being brought up as an Australian person.
Did you grow up here with your sister and brother-in-law, or?
No, I when I about in year 11, I went and bought it with an Australian family, and I think that sort of influenced my community involvement and instead of, you know, like being a shy Asian person, I branch out in terms of wanting to, you know, help and do things, yeah, and not being paid for it or something like that.
And are there any traditions that you practice that you'd describe as Australian?
Tradition. I would say I don't drink a lot, but I would say I would say going out can we come back? That's a very good question.
No, that's fine. I asked before about where you were born. Can you remind me when you were born?
Yeah, I was born in 1972 in Da Nang, Vietnam. Yep.
And do you think your generation is different to the ones that came before or after it?
Yeah, as I said before, I would say we're different in terms. We know we're first generation, but we're the young first generation. You got the older first generation, like my sisters and a lot of my friends' parents, where they're here and they have to work very hard to make, you know, make a living and try to better themselves. But we, like the first generation of young people, that we go to school here, but we're actually not born here. So I say we are different in terms of we are the first generation young people, but not, yeah, not quite the second generation.
Do you think that
affects I don't know what's that word, if there's a word for it or not.
Can't think of a word for it. Do you think that affects the identity of people in your generation at all? Does it make you different in any way from the generations before and after?
Yeah, I would say so too, because I still think that our generation that we have a lot more with the face, a lot more problems at school than the second generation. The first generation adults probably face more problems at work, but we face more problems at school. So, because we're not quite an adult age where we go to work, we're just not quite young enough to go to primary school, or just high school year. But yeah, so there's a difference that we face more problems in schooling than the second generation.
Has that impacted on your personalities or who you are as people?
I would say so, because and I know it's not only me, but not other my friends too, that we do see ourselves as disadvantaged, because we reach teenage years, and the language, when you reach teenage, it's harder to learn. So we suffer as a consequence in terms of language barriers and that probably knocked a lot of confidence out of a lot of my generation. But we do make it up for by working a lot harder to make it up, or study a lot harder. But whereas the second generation right now, kids born here, that path is a lot easier for them. And the parents, by the time they have kids here, they have they're a bit more comfortable where they invested in the kids' education a lot more, and they pay more attention to their kids. Whereas our generation, with the younger first generation, we're often left by ourselves and do whatever to really. So that's different in life experience, and because of the time that we're here. So
you had to be fairly independent and hardworking.
Oh yes, I know. Like, I know. A lot of my friends are the same too. Our early years, I'm talking about, being 13 or 12, and we pretty much being left to ourselves, and it's up to us to study. For the first few years, I was watching TV to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, but because we were left by ourselves to do whatever we like. So, because of the first generation, because they all their time being put into making money, going to work in the factory, stuff like that. So they weren't putting in that investment in education. But it's all different now.
And do you think, what would you say if I asked, what defines your generation?
All the things I just said about that we have to work hard. So
we hear a lot in Australia about Generation X and Generation Y and the baby boomers. Mm. Where do you think your generation fits into that, or is it irrelevant to?
Yeah, I don't know where we fit in, because we're not Generation X or the boomers. I don't know where we fit. I think just between bit here, bit there. It's very hard to define. I can't. I've got to think it through, but yeah.
Just going back to a different theme, what groups do you belong to outside of the, we've talked about your religion and cultural background, but are there any other groups that you belong to?
I'm an elected member for the Port Arlene Field Council, so my involvement often involved with a lot of ethnic groups and groups that they see that me as a person that they can relate to. So and I know I'm in a unique position, so I do my best to be part of those groups and make myself available to them, because I can understand things that some groups got to go through. So I've tried to make their life as easy as possible for them, if I can help it. So so apart from the going to mass, I've got a church group, but there's other groups which I involved with.
Can you tell me a bit more about them?
It's mainly, I mean, at the moment, it's obviously mainly the new arrivals, with, often friends with or friends or deals with through my involvement and being an elected member. It's just opened doors for me to meet them and for them to meet me. And often with new arrivals, they do have questions and they do have issue that sometimes they like to ask someone that they feel comfortable. So, and it's just all about confidence. And because I've been there before, so I often very much know exactly what, if they ask me something, I know exactly what they meant and obviously try to help them as much as I can.
And what about hobbies or teams that you support or anything like that?
Oh, okay, hobbies. Obviously I'm really busy, but I do follow Australian football at the AFL. I follow Port Power, so Port Adelaide Power. When I came over in the 80s, I knew nothing about football, and I just can't remember, was someone gave me a jumper, a guernsey of the Port Magpie, or I picked up as a refugees association, or someone gave it to me, and I had that on me, and I was wearing it at school, and as kids you hang around and they talk about football, and they said, "Oh, what team you followed?" And I said, "I don't know." And then someone said, "Oh, you must be Port Magpies." And I said, yep, that's right. I didn't know what they were on about. So kids were at school telling me that, yeah, I've followed Port Magpies. So it started from there. And you live here long enough and you see them play on TV and you follow them. So that's my hobby in terms of watching sport on TV. So typical Australian bloke, so watching sport on TV, but that's my hobbies at the moment. I mean, that's the only time I got
something. So would you describe that as a group you belong to, the Port Power fans?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, when you go to work, people talk about football all the time, and they talk about sport, so you have to here you have to follow football to get into conversation and talking about things and be involved with footy tip on a weekly basis. So I say mainly the work people that I hang around with, because you spend a lot of time with them.
So having talked about that very Australian pastime, can I come back to that question about your Australian cultural background and ask, can you think of anything else now that perhaps is a tradition you practice from your Australian background?
Oh, okay, that's fine. I would say I never used to go down the pubs because I'm not used to it. But now, if I need to catch up with friends, I often say, "Do you want to go down?" It's not meant to be a pub, but it's a place for a drink. So that could be a cafe or could be a local pub. We'll drink and then we talk about things. So I would say is that a work thing or that's a tradition as well? I'm not sure, but I just noticed that I do that quite a bit nowadays. Like if I want to catch up with someone, you say, "Oh, do you want to go for a drink?" So I often have a light beer or coffee or whatever. And yeah, so would you call that an Australian thing or not? Maybe not. So because these days it's just mainly about work. So
in the Australian manner, perhaps.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and the things that they do in the workplace, these are like, you know, I said to mention about the footy competition, everyone get excited about it, and the Melbourne Cup. Like that's not, I don't use involved, but I don't. It just something that. Everyone gets involved on that day, so you're sort of like, oh, well, let's celebrate or let's join in. So all the things that people do, you tend to get involved because, so I would say that would be it.
I'm going to move on to one of our other themes now and ask, do you think there's a class system in Australia?
I would say so. I mean, if people say no, then I don't believe that, because I think everywhere there's a class system. I mean, you go in any society, there's a class system. There's always rich people, there's always poor people. There's always people struggling. And yet in Australia, it would be the same. There's a class system there. I mean, you go for a drive, you know, an area. There's areas that's very good and there's areas very poor. So, and we do have a class system here.
Where do you think you fit in the Australian class system?
Well, obviously there are people that, I say, poor and struggling. You know, they're struggling every day. I'm currently I'm a president of St. Vincent de Paul Society in my area, and I know there are people who are doing very tough, and there are people who are doing okay, and you know, they manage day by day, get by, and there are people who are comfortable. I would say that's sort of like comfortable but still doing tough, like the middle class. And there's people who are quite well off and, you know, they have high maintenance. I would say I'm probably below the middle class. I wouldn't say I'm struggling. I wouldn't say I'm comfortable, but I'm okay. So, yes.
One of the questions I've got as a sub-question here is, what school did you go to?
I came here and I went to Highmarsh Primary School. I was in Year 7, and then I went to LA High. And then I went to University of South Australia. Yeah, that's it.
Mm. Do you think this says anything in particular about you, the schools that you went to?
What was that?
Do you think the schools that you went to says anything in particular about you?
Oh, okay, yeah, I say so because the high school went to Elahai is very, I suppose, very multicultural school too, in terms of when I went there, there were a lot more Greek students and there were some, I think, growing number of Asian students. And that made me try to branch out with the Greek students and the Australian students, and that's how I got involved, and they got me involved with cricket and football and soccer. I think that's how it started, my involvement with the community, because when I made friends through those sporting fields that I played, and yeah, it builds up from there. Yeah.
We put that question in because in talking to a few people, we've received feedback that it's a question a lot of Adelaide people or South Australian people ask each other, and we're trying to work out what it's meant to mean.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The other question I have is, what's your job, which we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that says anything in particular about who you are?
In some ways, because currently I've been working for Minister for Further Education, and I advise him on international students, the science and information economy, but the international students defines who I am because of my background and my involvements, and I understand the issues reasonable. It sounds, yeah, reasonably. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, my last question is a bit of a hard one, and mm-hmm. it's theoretical. If you had to pick one object or one image to put on display in the Migration Museum to represent you as a person, what would it be?
I would say if you have a photo of a group of people with different backgrounds, that would be the object that I picked. Because it sort of represents the way my work, my involvements, and involving a lot of things that I do that made who I am today. So that would be the object that I pick, and you put up, it would define who I am. That's like a typical ethnic person growing up here and involving with community activities.
Yeah. Well, that covers everything that I had done, but before we finish, can I ask, is there anything that you'd like to mention that I haven't thought of that you think is an important part of your identity or who you are?
I'm sure there's a few. I think now can't remember what I've said. So, yeah, there's quite a few things.
We've touched on family and cultural background and place and different groups that you belong to. If there is anything else that you think of later, you're welcome to get back to me at a later date.
I hope I've covered most things. Yeah. Anything that you think you need to ask me? Something that I was just a bit vague?
That's all right. That's wonderful. Thank you very much for talking to me today.
No, thank you.